Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Moneybox Finance Limited Q1 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Mamta Nehra from the MUFG Intime India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I welcome you to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance Limited. To discuss this quarter's business performance, we have from the management Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, Mr. Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder, Mr. Viral Sheth, Finance Controller. Before we proceed with this call, I would like to mention that some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature and may involve risks and uncertainties. For more details, kindly refer to the investor presentation and other filings that can be found on the company's website and stock exchanges. Without further ado, I would like to hand over the call to the management for the opening comments, and then we will open the floor for Q&A. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mamta. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Deepak Agarwal, Co-founder of Moneybox Finance, and I'm delighted to welcome you all to the Q1 FY26 earnings conference call of Moneybox Finance. Joining me on the call today are Mr. Mayur Modi, Co-founder, and Mr. Viral Sheth, our Finance Controller. Before we dive into the details of our performance, I would like to begin by briefly touching upon the broad economic environment. India's economy remains resilient and on a strong growth trajectory, with the Asian Development Bank projecting GDP growth of 6.5% in 2025 and 6.7% in 2026, driven by gradual increase in domestic demand, rural recovery, a strong services sector, and monetary easing. Despite global headwinds, India continues to outperform major economies. Inflation shows encouraging signs, with retail inflation easing to a six-year low of 2.1% in June, marking five straight months below the RBI 4% target, while wholesale inflation dropped to 0.13%. The RBI has responded proactively, cutting the repo rate to 5.5% this quarter, a cut of 50 basis points, and lowering the cash reserve ratio by 100 basis points, shifting its policy stance from accommodative to neutral. The rural economy is showing signs of revival, supported by surplus monsoon rains and improved agricultural prospects, which are expected to boost kharif sowing and rural consumption. Meanwhile, the NBFC sector is stabilizing, aided by RBI's rollback of higher risk weights on bank lending and stronger governance across the sector, especially in microfinance. At Moneybox Finance, our core mission is to support underserved small and micro entrepreneurs. We have significantly boosted our branch presence within a short time span. We now have a strong pan-India presence with 163 branches across 12 states. Our phygital model, a smart mix of physical branches and digital support, has proven to be both scalable and efficient. Today, we are backed by 32 lenders, including 11 leading banks. I'm pleased to share an exciting update. We have recently launched a new product, Salaried LAP, that is loan against property for salaried individuals. Until now, we have mainly served self-employed and business owners. With this new product, we will also cater to salaried customers looking for secured loans. This marks an important milestone for us, not just to expand our reach, but also to diversify our product base and strengthen our asset portfolio. We are making a strategic shift in our customer segment to strengthen and diversify our portfolio and reduce sector-specific risk exposure. The share of livestock-based disbursement has reduced from 64% in the same quarter of last year to 47% in Q1 FY26, as we focus more on non-livestock and upper-tier micro enterprises. At the same time, there is a clear shift in our ticket sizes distribution. Loans below 3 lakhs have come down from 80% in Q1 of last year to 50%, while loans in 5 to 10 lakh range have grown fourfold, from 5% of the disbursement in Q1 of last year to over 20% of disbursement in Q1 of current year. This reflects our move towards higher value lending aimed at improving revenue per loan and reaching a more stable, creditworthy customer base. These changes align with our goal of responsible long-term growth. Now let's move on to Q1 FY26 financial performance. I'm pleased to share that our asset under management grew by 23% year-on-year, reaching 918 crore, up from 746 crore in Q1 FY25. This includes an on-book portfolio of 689 crores, which constitutes 75% of our AUM, and a managed book of 230 crores, accounting for the remaining 25%. On AUM by states front, Madhya Pradesh continues to lead, accounting for 31.3% of our total AUM, followed closely by Uttar Pradesh. As Q1 is typically a muted quarter for us, especially in light of new changes which we have brought, we recorded disbursement of 92 crores compared to 106 crores in Q1 of FY25, reflecting our continued focus on financial inclusion. Moving ahead, we are strategically shifting our focus towards higher ticket loans of 5 lakh and above while enhancing our portfolio quality. In Q1 FY26, customers with a credit bureau score of 750 and above made 20.3% of our disbursement versus 5% last year and remaining in the single digits in the earlier quarters. This shows a strong focus on careful lending and improving overall credit quality. Also, the share of customers with credit scores above 650 has gone up from 50% to 70%. This reflects our better credit checks and focus on lending to safer, low-risk borrowers. Now, speaking about our successful business transformation towards secured lending, I'm happy to share that we have made a significant progress in this strategic shift. Secured disbursement accounted for 64% of the total disbursement in Q1 of FY26, a substantial rise from 36% in Q1 of FY25. Our secured loan book now forms 49% of our total assets under management as of June 2025. Up from 27% in Q1 of FY25. This shift represents a deliberate and well-executed move to strengthen our secured portfolio. We are confidently targeting a secured lending share of around 70% by March 2026, which we believe will play a critical role in ensuring more stable asset quality, stronger risk mitigation, and reduced default rates. Moving to our total income, which grew by 29% year-on-year, reaching 59 crores in Q1 of FY26, up from 46 crores in Q1 of FY25. Our net interest income also witnessed healthy growth, rising by 26% to 39 crores compared to 31 crores last quarter same year. Talking about our net interest margin, which is now around 14.36% for this quarter. That said, our profit after tax for Q1 of this quarter was 24 lakhs as compared to 4.30 crores in Q1 of last year. This dip in profitability was mainly due to muted disbursement growth during the quarter, but largely because of operating core profit being absorbed by higher credit cost. Turning to cost efficiency, our operating expenses as percentage of AUM stood at 13%. In Q1 of this year, slightly higher than 12.8% in FY26. Again, this increase was mainly due to lower than expected disbursement growth during the quarter and last year as such. However, cost optimization is a key priority, and we are targeting to bring OPEX below 10% over the next few years, supported by stronger AUM growth in coming quarters. Let's take a look at our lending and borrowing spreads. Our average lending IRR for quarters stood at 26.12% compared to 29.03% in same quarter last year. Effectively, this is the real number of average lending IRR stood at 28.50, but the dip is because of non-recognition of interest income on the GNPA portfolio. On the borrowing side, we have made a good progress. Our average borrowing IRR has reduced to 12.48%. As a result, interest rate interest spread came at 13.65% and NIM stood at healthy 14.36%. In Q1 of FY26, our average cost of funds stood at 12.5%, while the marginal cost of funds was at 12.1%. You will see that over a period of 5 years, every year we have reduced the average cost and the marginal cost by approximately 1%. Looking ahead, we expect our cost of funds to gradually decline and move into single digits in the medium term, supported by favorable regulatory environment, which is cut in the repo rates, improvements in our credit rating, and increasing scale of operations. Lastly, speaking about our returns, our return on equity stood at 0.1% and return on assets at 0.4% for the quarter, largely due to higher credit cost, which is declining every quarter. We believe profitability will improve as credit costs start to normalize and AUM growth and operational efficiency pick up in coming quarters. In Q1 FY26, our on-book GNPA rose to 7.28% and our on-book net NPA increased to 3.78%, largely driven by flattish AUM growth but increase in NPA though at a decreasing rate. This rise in stress is largely due to ongoing credit cycle, but we expect asset quality to improve as slippages begin to normalize in coming quarters. Our provision coverage ratios remain steady at 450%, which reflects our cautious and balanced approach to risk management. Our credit cost for the quarter increased to 3.65%, in line with the increased stress level. Talking about collections, our efficiency in the current and up to 30 days past due bucket is 97.2%. Though there are some minor fluctuations, we have worked hard to improve our collection system to keep things stable and ensure better recovery. After 9 months of effort, we now have a dedicated team of 100 field staff and 50 telecallers focused only on collections. We have also set up a legal team which has already filed 226 cases in FY25 compared to none in FY24. This year we'll see a very, very significant jump in the legal cases. All these steps clearly show a stronger push towards recovery and legal action to maintain good asset quality. Additionally, hiring leadership at all levels and the strategic shift in manpower reflects enhanced organizational structuring to support new business goals and operational efficiencies. Now talking about capital raise initiatives, in Q2 FY25, we announced a total equity raise of 176 crores, comprising 63 crores in equity and 113 crores through warrants. Of this, 91 crore has already been received in September 2024 and remaining 85 crores is expected to come by March 2026. This has helped us maintain a strong CRAR of 28.4%. Our liability mix is now well diversified, with 42% from debt capital markets, 33% from domestic institutions, and 25% from banks. We also maintain a very strong liquidity buffer of 165 crores as of June 30, 2025. This reflects strong confidence from all secured lenders, including debt capital markets and banks. In addition, we raised 82 crores via NCD, arranged by Wint in Q1 of FY26, bringing our total NCD raise to 237 crores in just 4 months, which effectively shows the confidence of the market on the debt side. This reflects strong market confidence in our model and fuel our mission to expand access to credit for micro-entrepreneurs across rural and semi-urban India. I'm pleased to announce that we have successfully launched our proprietary Cattle AI solution in March 2025. This cutting-edge technology is a major step forward in digitizing and automating cattle verification for secured rural lending. It helps us uniquely identify cattle, prevents duplicate funding, and even predicts animals' age through images captured right in the field. What's more, our real-time app works even in offline environment, making it faster and more efficient for field teams and ensuring quick loan approvals for our customers. This innovation not only enhances accuracy, but also strengthens risk control and improves the overall lending experience. As we move forward, we remain focused on navigating an evolving global and domestic environment. Strengthening collection efficiency and increasing AUM is a key priority, supported by rural recovery and potential tailwinds like income tax exemptions that may boost consumption. Our strategy, centered on strong underwriting, increased secured lending, exceptional lender support, higher loan sizes, risk diversification, enhanced leadership team, and a broader product portfolio, is building a more resilient and balanced business model. These pillars are set to enhance asset quality, strengthen risk management, and drive growth. With this, we can now open the floor for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Mihir Shah from Riddhi Enterprises. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good afternoon. Sir, my first question was that we've been saying that we have tightened the collection guidelines and everything, and we are working, we are focusing a lot on that. But sir, why does the 30 plus bucket still keep on increasing month on month, even though like 60% of our, 50% of our portfolio is now insecured?
Thank you, Mayor. The reason is that because the bucket is increasing because one, on the denominator side, the AUM has not increased. So that's one of the reasons. But you still have incremental fresh bounces which move towards NPA. So that number is decreasing. You know, every quarter that number is coming down from 18 crores in December to 13 in March to 10 in last quarter. Although that number is decreasing towards NPA, but you know, you will always have fresh flows, you know, to some extent. Having said that, you know, as so one is that the team has improved, so you know, versus the worst scenario in September and October, things are much better now. But having said that, you know, Q1 is generally a weakest time for our portfolio, which has been historically built that way. You know, we feel that, you know, going forward, things are, you know, starting to improve. And you know, as AUM also grows, you will see, especially starting Q3, that, you know, GNP number will start decreasing.
Got it, sir. And do we have a breakdown for secured versus unsecured on these numbers?
In terms of NPA?
Yeah.
It's about 80-20. So, I mean, in terms of overall GNPA, 20% is coming from the secured book and 80% is coming from the unsecured book.
Got it. And sir, how do the write-offs start kicking in for this year, and what are your expected credit losses for this year, credit costs for this year?
So, in terms of percentage, we are looking at around 3% credit costs this year.
And like the write-off start kicking off this year, and like, do we have like we have a 50% provision, but after NP, do we have a collection rate like we are that matches that, or is it slightly higher or lower?
It is slightly in terms of collection, it is slightly lower. But having said that, you know, these are very recent measures in terms of, you know, setting up. One is that the legal recovery team, which we have very, very recently done. So, as I said that, you know, till December of last quarter, we only had 10 cases filed. Last quarter, we had 216 cases filed. And this year, the target is to reach 3,000 to 4,000 cases filing, especially on the higher cost amount. So that gives a lot of benefit in terms of collection. And, you know, we are already seeing that, you know, where we are reaching bailable warrants level, those customers are coming and, you know, paying us money. Although the number is very small, Plus, we have very recently built on 90+ collection teams, and that is still coming up. So going forward, we expect that, you know, the numbers will improve in terms of post-NPA collection.
Got it. So do we have a number on that so that it will help us, you know, approximate the write-offs for the year?
In terms of write-off?
Yeah, I mean, post-NPA, how much are we able to get back? Like, what percentage of, in terms of amount, what percentage are we
able to get back? That's what I'm saying, that, you know, it keeps on changing. So, like, you know, in the month of March, we could recover about 2.5 crores of the 60 crores in NPA. And the number is around post-NPA is definitely in crores, but it keeps on fluctuating. But, you know, the expectation is that as we go for legal measures and as we strengthen our team in the 90-plus bucket, and, you know, agencies are getting employed. Rajasthan, we started with agency last month. So this month, we started with MP. So as the team comes in place, you know, the efficiency there will improve. And on the overall basis, as I said, that, you know, take a few whips here and there, but the costing on the overall credit cost, so like this quarter, we took about 5 crore plus of write-off, and balance is the ECL provision. So, but in total, expect a cost of around 3% for the current year.
Got it. And so I have none of our, like most of our recent raises not been from banks. Are we seeing lesser interest from the bank side?
The thing is that one, whatever we have raised from MCD recently has been at a very reasonable price. So you know, we raised 83 crores in Q1 through NCDs, which is at 12%, 12.1% to be exact. And even in the March, what we raised at, it was at around 12.5%, but very, you know, at a 4-year range with 18-month moratorium. So one is that NCDs are not coming expensive. The second is the bank's portfolio will increase because Q1 banks are relatively slow to lend. In the second quarter, we really expect, you know, bank funding to increase. So we never had so much discussion with banks in terms of lending, you know, what we have now, despite some elevation in the credit cost. So because relatively we are still better, and we are really seeing that Q2 will see a lot of, you know, bank funding coming in.
Got it. And sir, lastly, like, do you have any targets for ROE and AUM for this year?
In terms of AUM, I can tell you that we are targeting at least 1,400 crore for this year. And we will have a positive ROE and ROE. Let's see how the quarters proceed.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sunidhi Joshi from KP Capital. Please go ahead. Sunidhi, are you there on the line? Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity. You mentioned the marginal cost of funds at 12.1%, with expectations of it dropping to single digits. So can you help us understand the key drivers behind this expectation?
Hi, Sandeep. So you will, first you will notice that every year, you know, since inception, so like, you know, in first year of operation, we borrowed at 20%, 18%. Rate of interest and 10% FLDG. So every year cost has been consistently coming down. Even in, if you see the last 4-year trend, every year the incremental cost of borrowing is coming down. So this year we have already, you know, with one bank, we already have 11%. And we are in this month or next month, we are expecting that rate to come down to 10%. So I'm seeing that range. But, you know, now banks are coming in the range of, say, 11.5, 11.7. Incrementally, we will be getting that rate even in this year. You know, even when the rating doesn't improve this year. This year, I mean, at least in H1. So this is, you know, as you grow your AUM, as you achieve scale and improve credit rating, So pricing has to come down. If with all the peers, you know, at the relatively larger bucket, you know, the pricing is in between. Incremental pricing is in between 9 and 9.5. So this is the way it comes down. And you know, you will see that every year, you know, we have a track record of bringing the cost down. So incrementally from banks, I believe that, you know, we should be able to get maybe less than 11.5 for this year as well. And, you know, as the earlier high cost debts get repaid and new loan starts coming, so costing will decrease. So over 2 to 3 years, you know, on an average lending borrowing, we expect to go to single digit.
Okay, understood. And another question, Q1 disbursements declined year on year from 106 crores to 92 crores. So what disbursement growth do you anticipate for the rest of FY26? And what sectors of geographies will drive it?
So yes, disbursements have declined. A large part is, one is the subdued market environment. Also, all that, you know, our strategic shift towards, you know, you would see that, you know, that livestock disbursements have decreased from 64% to 47%. That, you know, higher credit bureau score customer have been increased. Higher ticket loans have been increased. So there is a strategic shift in how we are building our portfolio going forward. So that requires some changes at a field level, at a ground branches level. So some shift in thinking. In the month of May, we discontinued loans below 3 lakhs for a new customer. Other than where we have some guarantee from Rabo Foundation, you know, to build a cattle book. Other than that, so you know, those changes also, because these are the hard decisions we have taken, so they also impact the AUM growth. Having said that, you know, the way we are seeing the logins coming even in the month of July, we believe slowly and steadily these numbers will improve. And that's where we are saying that, you know, because the ground team is very large with us now, with 163 branches present and, you know, 1,000 people in the direct sales, we believe that, you know, 1,400 crores will be achievable. So that number in terms of disbursement will increase every month.
Understood. Thank you and all the best.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hitanshi Agarwal from ABS Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. So my first question is, with over 20% of Q1 FY26 disbursements going to customers with credit score above 750, so how are you building your scaling? How are you building and scaling your credit sourcing framework to continue attracting such profiles in like semi-urban and urban rural markets?
So one thing here is that, you know, is a shift of mindset, you know, which helps. So all, I mean, you know, the way, you know, some of the new branches are changing. So if you see the 6 new states, like, you know, Gujarat, Bihar, and 4 states in South, they have built with that mindset only, that, you know, we have to secure only secured customer with the better credit ratings. So now, you know, on the ground, that shift is coming. Also with, you know, salaried LAP coming in. So these customers have a better, higher credit score. So I think there are multiple steps which we take in terms of, you know, adding the field staff, which are from the secure background, the BMs, which are from the secure ground. So you know, you start from the ground level, from the, you know, relationship manager, and going up to the, you know, highest level. The guys have to, you know, be working from the secure background. So next is in August, we will have a chief business officer also joining. And for almost 2.5 decades, he has worked only on the secured loans. So it's a, to answer your question, it's a change which you require at an organization level, at every level to take place. And that's showing up. So when you compare the disbursements of last quarter, same year versus this year, they are very, very significantly different.
Okay, that's great. So just one last question. like the gross NPAs have risen to 7.28% and net NPAs to 3.78%. So what are the key reasons behind this increase, and how do you plan to bring them down? And just a follow-up to this one, like how does your asset quality is in comparison to your peers, via NBFCs in rural lending space?
Okay. To answer your first question, see why the number is increasing. See, suppose you will have every month, you will have some amount of incremental NPA, you know, some customer flowing into NPA, which increases that number. And, you know, when the AUM has been, you know, not growing as much, so you will see that as a percentage, you will see that rise. So had the AUM been increasing, you will see the same percentage, which we expect that, you know, going forward as we grow our AUM, so that percentage will stabilize and then starts declining. So that's one area. Second is that incremental NPA is decreasing. As I said that, you know, once we see what was the flow in December quarter, March quarter and June quarter. So every quarter, that flow in terms of absolute amount is decreasing. The third is that in terms of recovery, we are bringing new changes. So, you know, as you hire telecallers, as you hire, you know, field staff, the first focus becomes that, you know. So now when I say 100 people, there are 40, 45 people in the X bucket itself, and the large part of it is in 30 to 90 bucket. So, you know, you first try to control that, and then, you know, the recovery side. We have started appointing agencies, state cluster collection managers, cluster collection managers to improve the collection there, and especially going legal. I think, you know, as market improves, especially with the secured, because, you know, a very large part, although, you know, so, you know, these, whether secured or unsecured, we have seen that, you know, once, you know, at certain level, say at a billable warrant level, people really come to the branch and pay. So that number will increase. And, you know, more so, the way we analyze, 97% of our customers who are in the NPA bucket are still there in their homes. So, you know, we have always taken a strategy earlier that, you know, we are funding to customer who is at his residence only. So those customers are available there.
Okay.
So that, I believe, will help us, you know, because it is not a digital lending per se, where we are not able to reach, or, you know, branch doesn't have a connect. So as market improve with monsoon, as, you know, the crop environment improve, the agri income improves, these loans will come back. You know, especially when you have, maybe in around 80-90% of my loans, say 80% of my NPA, a funding cost is about 1 lakh, 1 lakh rupee, 1 lakh 10,000. So these customers will pay up, you know, and will not remain, you know, like to go to jail or, you know, get into legal issues, and, you know, ultimately they will come up and pay.
Okay, that's great. Okay, that's all from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Varun Mishra from AH Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I had a couple of questions. So, like, you mentioned that 23% growth in the AUM, like with a clear shift towards the secured and higher loan tickets. So could you elaborate more on the strategy and, like, how are we expected to see that in the long-term profitability? Like, we see the below 3 lakhs, the segment has seen a degrowth, which is good as we move towards the higher ticket size. So could you elaborate on that? That would be great.
It's largely a change in the overall strategy. See, one is that, you know, you keep on pivoting as you grow. So, you know, as I said that, you know, first year we borrowed at 20% IRR. Now, incrementally, we are borrowing at 12 from NBFCs and at around, say, 11.5 from banks. So one is, as your cost of borrowing declines, you have far better option to move to a customer, which will give you a better security, which will have a better security, credit bureau score and a larger ticket size. And with the secure loan, you have a higher sustainability because it's a seven, you know, more than, so from 5 to 10 year kind of loan. So the sustainability is more foreseeable. So that's the part which we are doing, that, you know, as the balance sheet is becoming stronger, we are able to raise lower cost of funds, we are improving the depth in terms of, you know, customers. So now a lot of customers, so we have done few cases as high as 25 lakh rupees loan to a customer, wherein his GST sales stood at about 6 crore in a year. So we never had that portfolio 2 years back because it's a large part of it is cattle. Now, even with the cattle thing, we are moving towards high ticket. So there is a part wherein we are saying that, you know, we have some, you know, first loss fees guarantees wherein we are doing less than 3 lakh ticket. But largely we are moving towards large ticket, which is visible. So more and more of SME kind of lenders, you know, well diversified in terms of their, and especially, you know, in last 2 years, you know, there has been some rural stress, you know, because of floods and all. So, you know, these customers in semi-urban areas are in that sense better off. And so you will see that, you know, all the rural lenders, I mean, in the last 1 year specifically, and especially which is MFI, they have won a decline of, you know, by almost 30%, you know, for most of them. And also, overall credit cost, which includes the GNPA write-off and, you know, standing at almost 30%, wherein we are at 10%, you know, for a complete last 1 year, including everything, you know, what has moved to GNPA and everything. So that way, I'm saying that, you know, one, our portfolio was much better than MFI, but yes, because of the rural exposure, and especially to the agri space to some extent, there have been bit of, you know, higher delinquencies, which I feel now improved. But, you know, on this quality of customer portfolio, as I explained in the, you know, with the last question, that we are moving ahead with a better customer. So you will see now more and more, you know, so as you're already saying that for July itself, we had a 70% disbursement in secured portfolio and maybe cattle will constitute 40% this month. So that shift will continue. And in next 2 years, maybe say next year, it will be more like a secured lender. You know, earlier, you know, people were looking at it as, you know, more of a MFI plus. So that scheme of thing is changing. So it is more secured and higher ticket size, and with the customers having no exposure to MFI. I mean, at least majority of customers will have no exposure to MFI over a period of 2 to 3 years.
All right. So, and so, like, as you mentioned, the cost of borrowing has been, like, declining for us. So, like, would we see this as the upward trajectory in terms of the higher ticket sizes?
Cost of borrowing.
Yeah, you mentioned the cost of borrowing is coming down, which leads us to having a, like, to move towards the higher ticket sizes. So can we see this, like, going further? Any improvement
for sure,
in the
for
higher
sure.
ticket sizes?
No, for sure. You will see this every quarter on quarter. You know, Q1 is very, very significantly, you know, if you see our presentation, you know, we have specifically mentioned, you know, how the book is behaving now. So on the slide number 13, you will see that, you know, in terms of disbursement, wherein we disburse only 19% in 3 lakh and above. So every quarter we have, you know, improved it. And this quarter, you know, from 19% to 50%. So, you know, every quarter we have changed it. So this will continue. This will continue.
All right, sir. Sir, I had one more question regarding the launch of a new app, the Cattle AI. So it has been like the, could you like throw in some light about what the app does and how can we see that let us improving our business in terms of disbursements and everything?
This is a Cattle AI app. We have been working for almost a year now on this. We have already captured almost more than 2 lakh cattle in our portfolio. So what it does is, one, it creates a unique ID for all the cattle, which we have funded historically, and which the new borrowers, you know. So it's a muzzle, uses a muzzle technology to make an identification of cattle. Right now it has capability, one, to do a unique identification. So if there is same cattle in my existing portfolio, it will show up So, you know, what could happen in, you know, there are a couple of things we noticed, you know, which happens in a cat portfolio that, you know, some kind of, you know, duplication happens. So maybe, you know, if you have given a loan to one brother and, you know, next time his brother shows the same cattle or within the neighbor shows the same cattle. So this, this application will help us, one, identify the unique cattle. Currently, it is also giving a guideline on the age of the cattle. And going forward, as we develop it, it will also show if the cattle has any, you know, visible disease, which can be seen through skin, through teeth, you know. So you know, by looking at these. So this will help us because it's a large portfolio, you know, and the customers will also be happy seeing the report. You know, in terms of identification of disease, etc., and definitely in terms of credit quality, it will help us a lot.
All right, sir. That's all from my end. Thank you, and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ankita Deshpandya from VSH Advisory. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Perfect.
Hello.
Yes.
So I have a question. Like, we have observed a significant decline in the share of livestock-based loans from 64% to 47%. So could you kindly elaborate on the specific challenges within the livestock sector that may have been contributed to this shift? And additionally, what measures are being implemented to mitigate risks? Expand into newer customer segments?
So one is that currently the portfolio has not shifted. So earlier we used to have about 66% of the portfolio into cattle space.
Mm-hmm.
Now it is 63% at the portfolio level. So what has declined from 64 to 47% is the disbursement in the last quarter, which will continue. And so you know, one reason is definitely you know, building a more diversified portfolio. So, you know, earlier for our lender, although you would see that every year there's a lot of contribution, there's a lot of support, but, you know, what we thought that, you know, sticking to one particular segment with 2/3 of the portfolio is not the great strategy. So we had to diversify. So that's one idea is coming from the diversification of the portfolio. Second is that specifically in the last 1 year. So if you see our track record in COVID-1, COVID-2, lumpy skin disease, we have not seen any major delinquency in the cattle portfolio. It continued to do well each year. Only the last year, what we have seen because of the floods and, you know, impact of MFI, which is also, you know, other than, you know, some over leverage, it is also driven by, you know, RBI. So there have been new guardrails, you know, which you know that. So MFIs are not able to lend, you know, to that extent, which was earlier happening. Although some signs of improvements are seen now. So, you know, that customer was getting impacted. So one also that shift is that, you know, because in this livestock portfolio, there is MFI lending, which is prevalent. So, you know, also that will help. So we are taking multiple steps. As I said, there is some, you know, where below 3 lakhs for a marginal customer who has, you know, 4 or 5 cattle, we are working under a guarantee program wherein, you know, a part of our loss can be covered. And then at a higher ticket size, now we are taking, you know, there are salaried customers who have like salary also with cattle also. So we are moving also towards, so from 5 cattle to 10 cattle, 12 cattle with stronger agri-based kind of customers. So it will remain, you know, and then you said about, so I'm saying that cattle will remain a good part of our portfolio, but on a prudent basis, we wanted to bring down the concentration towards cattle portfolio. So that's one area. And even in the cattle, as I said, that, you know, cattle AI, we are taking multiple steps. You know, we now have very high-level veterinary services guy, you know, to ensure this asset portfolio tracking and, you know, productivity improvement. The second on your side, that in terms of other portfolio, So what you will see is that we are moving towards, you know, better asset, better collateral value, better quality of assets, you know, which we get, and better customer in terms of CIBIL score as well. So, you know, NTC has declined with us. You know, earlier we used to have 30% NTC, now it's about 20% NTC. So that has declined, and the bureau score is quite, you know, visible, especially, you know, if you see the quarter one data. You know, we have really made a significant effort in terms of, you know, securing a higher credit bureau customer.
Got it, got it. So that's it from my side. Thank you so much for answering.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshan Shah from MNS Associates. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir, thank you for this opportunity. My first question was regarding your AUM concentration. I see Madhya Pradesh is the highest at 31%. So are there any new geographies pan-India that you are targeting to diversify your portfolio and reduce the concentration risk?
So we have a very, very, you know, in terms of geographic diversification now, we are very well diversified. So we are present in 12 states. And, you know, incrementally, you will see that, you know, share of Madhya Pradesh decline. So as, you know, South takes up shape. So just to tell you that out of 163 branches, about 25% in are in MP. So, so one is directionally, you know, quarter on quarter, the share of MP will come down. So it will happen organically. Right now, we don't have that plan of further diversification for this year. But yes, you know, incrementally, you will saw this decline to 25% over a year.
Got it, sir. And so second was on this collection efficiency. So it was a two-part question in collection efficiency when I look at your presentation. One is what happened around, you know, September, October to like peak of March 25, where it almost peaked from 96.5 to 99.4, your 30 DPD. That was my first question. The second question would, the follow-up there obviously would be that what is then happens if it's come down from the peak from 99.4, it's now to 97. So I just wanted to understand these two phases in the collection efficiency, what happened, what, you know, measures that you deployed there so that it increased a lot and now that you're also seeing it come down.
One is that obviously March becomes a better quarter every time. And, you know, we introduced from February, we introduced telecalling efforts across all buckets. And, you know, it really helped. You know, beginning to, you know, almost a U-turn. Having said that, yes, quarter one has suffered a bit. We really don't have a very, very clear answer to that, you know, how it happened. But what we are seeing is that each quarter, the number is declining, the absolute number. So, you know, what I had a flow in MPA in versus in June, it's kind of, you know, 45% less than, you know, that flow to NPA in December quarter versus June quarter. So that number is declining. You know, you still have that portfolio of, you know, build up earlier. So there has been some pain around that. But, you know, we really feel the way things are happening, you know, rural marketing is showing signs of improvement. So that money will come up. You know, a lot of that will come up and scenario will improve. For the first time in July, the number of logins which we have seen is really, really high. Although I would say that because our processes have become very hard and, you know, they are new, so people are adjusting to that, you know, RCU visit in every case, which is 5 lakh and above. So every process has been a little more cautious, but, you know, the way now the logins are coming, we believe that, you know, things will improve in coming quarters. And very significantly improve in coming quarters. So I think it is 1 year, you know, which was, you know, we started seeing pain starting July last year, and I think going forward things will, you know, move northward side. So I'm not saying that, you know, in terms of GNPA it has peaked maybe one quarter more, but, you know, as we grow the AUM and, you know, collection starts falling in place, things will improve. But we are taking a lot of steps which are in the right direction. As I said, ticket size, the bureau score, the kind of customer which we are picking up. So everything is moving in the right direction. And these things will take time. It's not a one-month job. But every month, we are making significant changes to improve this.
Got it, sir. And so lastly, finally, on the cost-to-income part, usually your cost-to-income is around the 70%. I think in Q1, if I see your operating expenses around 22% and net income EBITDA 31%. And now this is now 30% and 38%, around 70%-80%. So I just wanted to check in. I read articles on your company with you having beds in the branch, and there's a lot of support that you give over and above your financing, livestock, artificial insemination, vaccination, and zero cost. I just wanted to understand, besides your traditional operating costs, how much do these additional kind of helping and services build up in that amount, in that cost? And that is why we're seeing that the cost-to-income is elevated. And secondly, all of these additional help that you give to your lenders, what ultimately does it translate to you getting lower GNPAs or better stickiness from a similar peer? Because then the customer is also much more appreciative of the fact. Just two questions from my end on this part.
Okay. So the one part is that in terms of cost, so for this year, for this veterinary services, I see a cost of around 1.5 crore. Last year, it was about, say, 1.2 crore. So one is that impact is there, but not very large impact. But when I see that kind of, say, for example, what we got from Jago Foundation in terms of almost 2.25 crore of first loss fees guarantee as a grant, it happens because of these initiatives which you take. So we had some study from Dell which helped us. There is something which is very close in terms of Bill Gates Foundation which is happening. So these things, one is that in future, it will help on the ESG part of it, getting because when you're doing these kind of activities, there's a lot of support. So I'm not seeing that cost to increase further. So now on, if we increase that veterinary base, it will largely be supported through some or the other grants or funds. So that's one part of it. Obviously, you're able to track it more. So like the Cattle AI app, if we did not have the presence of veterinary doctors in our branches, it would have been very difficult to build this database. So this machine learning thing required us to take images of 200,000 cattle to reach this stage. So in terms of you can also quarter because if you have to deliver an IT product, you need people. So that way also it helps. And obviously, when you have these guys and also, yes, there are a lot of customers now when we had two-thirds of cattle base. So it's a lot of wherever the veterinary doctors are there, customers would like to take along. These services are complementary. So it increases AUM, and that has been helping us. It helps us a lot during the lumpy skin disease wherein customers could have been guided about what steps to take. So one is on the ESG side, which is a very, very large domain area in terms of how you do business. But also, these definitely have potential economic benefits as well, the way we do it. On the agri side, there are a lot of things. Now we have one guy who is very, very senior and to drive to customers on what to grow, which grass to grow, how to improve the productivity. So that will definitely help.
Got it, sir. That was really helpful. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. We will take that as our last question for today. On behalf of Moneybox Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.